So, I think this is going to be an interesting, hopefully non-crying event, David. A non-crying, even you, a non-crying event. I think that we can all say that it's been a very challenging year. Many things have happened, lots of stuff we have to walk through, lots of adjustments. Lots of differences that are coming forth in our lives, and we're like, what? Got to deal with this one now. Which way do I go? So we have different bumps in the road, and sometimes five bumps in the road. Crisis. I mean, we could lay it all out, probably pass the microphone around. We could talk for about an hour about stuff. I know that my recent, in recent news with my mom, I don't know that I've shared everything. Have I? I know I've shared it with most of you guys. The recent diagnosis of my mom that she has breast cancer. And so now we're on that trail of walking through that, dealing with it, whatever we need to do, making different arrangements, changes in my what I'm doing, how much to help, what am I supposed to be doing, all that kind of stuff. It's not a big deal. Others of you have been through much more difficult times than what I'm saying right now. So I just know that I really want God to be in the midst of all this situation. Everything that I have going on right now that are going through my brain, which is more than just my mom and I, it's a bunch of other things that are going on. I want God to be, I'm going to say it this way, I want God to be in the way. Because, yeah, otherwise we're going to crumble or melt or get angry, or I mean, let's just whatever. Cross our arms. So Friday night, there was a spring concert, I think that's what it was called, at PACA. And it was really, it was just a go there, I go there for concerts and stuff, and it's like, yay, and okay, and I'm clapping for them. I'm there for the kids. All right, I'm there for the kids. Not for you adults, for the kids. And in the midst of that, some news came. But still, we're there for the kids, and they're doing this great stuff. There's these singing. Tobias has a wonderful voice, Josiah. I mean, Mama, Jocelyn. I'll get it. I'll get it there. And one of the things while he's singing, because he had a semi-solo, I don't know what to call it, but he's the only boy that was in the choir, so he got to sing by himself. This part was probably made for anybody that's a tenor, but he's got that wonderful voice, and he's just singing it, and he's just so focused and so into the words that he was singing, and it was awesome. Just saying. And then they did some more singing, and then they did some recorder playing, it's the first time I've ever seen them do recorders in quote what they call a duet, but high part, low part. I've never seen them do that at Park Avenue, and I thought that was really cool. To me, that just made it extra special. To me, I like music. And then we did a then they had a drama. What was interesting was a girl who is the drama teacher used to go to Park Avenue a long time ago. I don't think I ever saw this drama before, but have my life song. Anyway, it was a neat little drama. It was a doesn't matter what the characteristics and all this thing, but they sang some songs during the drama. So it was a musical. And one of the songs they sang was Praise You in the Storm. In the middle of the storm? Okay, anyway. So I'm sitting there listening to it, and you can see some of the kids are really into the song. Like they really wanted to sing it and almost into a screaming factor. And it seemed to God really, but not to us for to be heard or anything. It just seemed like they were like really into it. And I don't know, what, 5 or 6 lines into the song? Guess who started crying? If you guessed Jocelyn, you might be right. But it was me. Am I crying? I don't know. So I'm just sitting there listening to some more and the words, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I have been in the middle of a storm for like 10 months now. I don't think I really recognize it as that, but I probably did at different moments. But Right now, while they were singing that song, I was recognizing it and I was crying, which is not like me. I don't usually do that. And then they sang another song after that, The Voice of Truth. And as I was listening to that song, I was like, this is what everybody keeps telling me. Am I just going to keep ignoring you, Lord? No, I'm not going to. I want to listen to the voice of truth. And that's part of what two Sundays ago was about, was who am I? Because that's part of the voice of truth, to know who you are. So you can walk through all of these things, even in a storm, even in whatever is happening. And I'm sorry for making you all cry, because I know you guys cry when I cry. I don't want you to cry. You know, there's things that are going to continue to happen. I can say I hope things are easier just because I'm a believer and I'm walking as a son, but they're just not always easy. And that's not part of the criteria to walk as a son. If it was, everybody would be doing it. I don't know about that. But anyways, if it was, where would the challenges be? Where would the growing be? The growth that we go through, that we have to adjust and change the way we think? Because, I mean, let's face it. For me, I'm not going to change the way I think until I become very uncomfortable. Until there's a crisis, but a bump in the road or whatever. I'm not going to change the way I think because I think I'm all good. And that and a bag of chips, and I'm like a combo meal. I mean, so these things have to happen. Doesn't mean we like them, but we do need to praise him in the midst of it. And in the midst of that praising, we need to listen to his voice. We need to know what his voice says and not what others say, not what the world says, not what anybody's good idea is. We need to listen to him. So from day one, as a believer, I've always wanted to listen to God because I finally found a compass. I found a guidance from day one. And then from day one as a saint, that kind of changed a little bit because now instead of blaming myself for things that are going on, I realize there's so much more going on. And all these things that occur, God needs to be a part of what's the resolution, shall I say it that way? The resolution of what's going on. Whether it's feelings, whether it's something physical, whether it's mental issues, whether it's spiritual stuff, that's the route is always God. So, of course, in the midst of both of those songs, the Lord started talking to me about that scripture that you see on the very top of your page in Psalm 121 about where does my help come from? And I mean, to me, as a believer, just as a believer, no doubt my help comes from the Lord. As a saint, it's even more magnified that he is the only help. There's no other. So I looked up the words, worked up the word help. And this is a little different word than it's been talked about in other places. But anyway, there's a definition. And the word is azer, and the root word is azar, I can say it. And when you look at what it says, it's like, you know, exactly what you think. Someone that's gonna aid you, gonna help you. Sarkur is that word, which means to go to the aid of, but also means relief. I mean, all of these things, to be surrounded, to be protected, that's all encompassed in this word. And where else do you find that? Where else do you find that exact definition alive? Where is that in your life? I mean, our family does a lot of this. They can and they do and they will, whether you want it or not. Just being honest about that too, whether you want it or not. But we already know what the difference is. The difference is that it's perfect help. It's perfect protection. It's perfect relief in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a bump in the road or a big bump in the road. It's, in this case, in Psalm 121, it's the perfect help from the one who is always, always be, always will, the plans and purpose of God. So the part that I really liked, of course, was that I'm surrounded and that I'm protected. And when I think about that in the midst of all the things that are going on, it's like, how can you say I'm protected when this is happening or that's happening or whatever, fill in the blank. But you are. We probably sometimes, I think we sometimes just have no idea what's really going on everywhere. Especially when we get hit with something, attacked with something, you know, something pings us. It's not just a mosquito dropping off of our shield. It's like a fiery arrow. Our mindset changes. We start thinking about me. I start thinking about me. It's like, no. The voice of truth says, and then you have to start filling in the blank of what the voice of truth has told you. Not only who you are, but the situation. And feelings definitely play a big role in this. But if you look at this word about help, do you see anything specific in here about help, like only in physical issues? Only when you're mentally losing it and screaming at your family or your kids or your dog or whatever? You know, it's not a specific area. Now, mind you, since it's the help of Jehovah, we know that it's coming from that spiritual aspect. But it's not just a spiritual help, though the spiritual help is the anchor by which we move or stand or have our being. It has to come from that point of view, from that aspect. So when you read the scripture in Psalms 121, which you guys should know this, and this is one of those, a song of degrees. Do you guys remember us talking about Song of Degrees? I think we read all of the Psalms of Degrees, and it was, I had to write the note down because I couldn't remember all of it. It was a collection of 15 Psalms, mostly written by David, but the Songs of Degree are building upon a revelation and a blessing. When you look up the word Song of Degrees, that's what it is. It's a girding up of a revelation that's been given, obviously, and also the blessing that comes with that revelation that's given. And you can go look at the Psalms again if you want to, all of them. We've read them before, but this is part of that stuff. So in Psalms 121, it says this, a song of degrees, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And it's up. Besides the Psalm 23 and the shepherd is my good shepherd, that one, this is a really neat psalm to be reading every day, especially if you're going through a crisis or you're going through a bump in the road that's bigger than you thought, or any number, just on a normal basis. Reading this, to me, just reading that, those words is encouraging. I mean, we are never alone when God gives us a task. That is for sure. We shouldn't be looking to anyone but Him for our answers, not to anyone else. We don't need to see anything coming in our direction from anyone but the Father. It sounds so good when we're sitting here, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't it sound good, Kim? Sounds good. Oh, I thought you were going to say something because the microphone's right there. All right. So when you look at the scripture, You know, one of the things that you notice is what is the source? What's the source of help? It clearly states it in this psalm. My help comes from Jehovah. It's not the mountain, even though hill, I mean, whatever, same word, same kind of word. It's not that. I lift up mine eyes for sure. I got that part. Where are you? You know, we have that. We've talked about that. We're not, it's not what's here on the earth. What's happening in the heavens? Got it. But it comes from, it is being given to us from Jehovah. And he's also constant watch over us. This is another thing that we absolutely know. The Lord is described as a keeper, which is the word shamar, and he doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep. Aren't those the same word? No, not exactly. Slumber means you're getting drowsy. Sleep means you're, well, I'll say it means you're asleep, but sleep means that you're slack. You're not, that's not the right word. Hold on. Sleep means, yeah, it means to be slack or to be, oh, to grow old or to grow stale. Guess what? God doesn't grow old. And God is not stale. Yeah, God's never in a not functioning state. That is correct. So having this information and understanding that help means I'm surrounded, wow. There's no reason for things to overwhelm you, even though they still do, because, well, we're still human. Our spirit man, like I said, is the one that's supposed to continue to move us forward, anchor us into what the voice of truth is speaking. But the rest of us needs to be put aside. what's another thing? Oh, what's this protection? Now, hey, we're from Florida. When you pull into a parking lot and you're going to park for a little bit, where do you go to look for a parking spot? The shade. This to us makes total sense, that there is shade at your right hand, that there is a covering that is over us when we're at his right hand. Is that what it says? The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Where else are we going to go? There's a measure of protection when it comes to the word shade. Yes, ma'am.
It's like a covering of darkness to where, not in a bad way, but in a way that protects you from anything false that's trying to, I guess, find you or target you.
Yes. You know, and in that shade, we can see the light that God is giving us to speak the truth of what's happening, or an encouraging word, whatever you want to say. So, and he's watching over your life. Sorry. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. You think about, as an intercessor, the going out and the coming in is when you're in prayer, you're going out to where he needs you to be. You're standing in the gap for this, or you're breaking through for that. I mean, this is all part of what the Lord does all the time. It's not just one moment and you're good. Oh, thank you, Lord. But he's going to watch over us as we go out and we come in from this time forth and even forevermore. Like, evermore, always. So that's my help. But you guys, if you look at the word, if you're looking in your Greek version of the Bible, you know, with it has all the words next to whatever, you can see that my help is just the word help. I think. I say that now, and now I'm not so sure. Somebody else can look it up while I'm looking it up, because it's going to take me a minute to get there. Back over here. It is just the way it is. That's not true. Okay. So even though if you look on the next scripture when it says our help, And then on the last page, it says their help. It all just means help. Go ahead.
Well, I remember when Pastor Ron taught on this word too, he gave it a little extended definition too, as being a helper, to function as a helper of God, and to be in alignment with God's ways.
Okay.
So all of these words in here are talking about Jehovah, like you said, it's about his plan and his purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's really where we find our ability to be in alignment with his ways. And that's what our help really is.
Yeah.
You know, when we're staying in alignment with his ways, then mm-hmm. all these things, his plan is what is our keeper. His plan is our shade, you know, staying yes. in that and functioning, not just languishing in there, but being active and vital and pressing forward into his plan.
Yeah.
And his purpose is what allows us to function as a helper of God, and what allows him to function with us, because we let him then. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're not letting him.
Right. And you know, it's like really like the whole character of Jehovah is applied in this place. And for you in the situation. Now, I mean, I don't know. Everyone is different how they ask for help from the Lord. But I mean, sometimes I just say help to him because that's what I need. But once I say that, it needs to trigger something more than, hey, I asked for help. Yay. It needs to be something more. I need to be actively partnering with what God is doing, even if I don't understand it or don't know what's going on. It's like, okay, I have to do this. And you know, for me, for instance, with my mom, she understands how important God is to me right now. She understands that aspect of my life, which is in itself somewhat of a miracle. But I want her to understand who God is in the midst of what's going on. And so I'm continually asking, like when we were at the hospital talking to the doctor, whatever, Dr. Moran, I think is her name. And it's like, what do I say? What can I say? And I'm sitting the whole time praying, going, Lord, let me know when I need to talk. Because there's so many times I wanted to talk, but it was out of my flesh. I could tell that because I was kind of angry. So it's like, don't say that. Don't say that. But I want her to know him as well. So I'm constantly now in this mode of praying for my mom and asking the Lord for his help, for his wisdom to be given, for functioning in what he's doing in this midst of this. That's what I need. And I need to ask that. I think right now where I'm at, I need to be asking that as a continual question. Lord, help. What is it I need to do? I know you're protecting me and you're surrounding me. I should be able to rest in that easily. Now what? I need to know what's the next step I need to take. Next step we need to take. So that's how I got started on this. Well, actually, I'm going to blame it all on the pack of drama because of the songs. Go ahead.
I really like verse 3 where it says he's not going to permit any point of dominion that we have obtained to waver or to be shaken.
Yes.
He will not permit that. So the only one that can do that is for us to move our feet.
That's so true. Oh, see, that means I missed some of my notes because I was going to say that. Okay, cool. Lots of shamars in there. Every time they say keep and preserve, that's shamar. Okay, let's go on to the next scripture, unless anyone else has other comments they'd like to make. All right, so we're going to go to another Song of Degrees, and this is Psalm 124. And when you read through Psalm 124, you see how David is speaking about how God has saved them, how God has intervened on their behalf, them being Israel, or even David and his his gang from almost certain destruction. And as you read it, you can see that some of the escaping that happened, some of the saving, the deliverance that happened was almost like a narrow escape, maybe. When you read it, you might be able to see that. I don't know. But the aspect of danger that's in here, and I don't know. We'll read it and see what you say. How about that? The Song of Degrees of David. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of a snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. There's so many words in here that are not in the scripture, that like verse 8, when it says our help is in the name of the Lord, it doesn't say that. It says our help in the name of the Lord made heaven and earth. So to me, it makes it different. It's not in, it's the characteristics of God, that the authority of God, the identity of God, that is our help. I know we like to say in the name of the Lord, which is great. I get it. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the identity of his plan. That is what is seared into our spirits. It's like engraved in our spirits, and it's engraved on his hands. And that's what he sees, and that's what we claim. I mean, that it's, without that, his divine eternal plan and purpose, I mean, that is how we stay in alignment with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no other way.
Right.
It has to go back to the identity that we have engraved upon our hearts from his plan and his purpose.
And that authority part, the aspect of the authority that we are given because of that plan and purpose, because of who we are, like the thing we discussed like 2 weeks ago, who are we? Who are you? Go ahead.
Well, and that gets back to the sons of Sceva, you know, when they're calling on the name of the Lord and trying to do whatever, and the demons are like, who are you? There was no identity there of that divine plan and purpose. There was no authority, obviously,
God.
But it comes from where? From the identity. If mm-hmm. they don't have that identity within them, then they have no authority, you know, and that's what's missing if you don't have that deepening relationship that's pursuing him.
Yeah, it's that relationship part. I mean, it's amazing how far we've come. How far I've come, but how far we have come since we become saints.
That more and more, that seems to be my prayer for people. I mean, when I hear of something that's happened to somebody, some sort of crisis, whatever, mm-hmm. that's the first thing I'm praying, that they would come to find their identity, their true identity in the Lord, the reason they were created, the reason why they were put upon this earth, and that they'd be drawn into the depths of the Lord's heart.
Imagine if everybody understood that, what this world would be like. It would be a different place. Just the people that are in church right now, Lord, speak to their identity. Let them know who they are in you. Ugh, it's amazing stuff. But okay, so when we read through the Psalms, you could see the different bumps in the road or crises that are listed, like a flooding. I mean, we were under a flood watch for a little bit, but you understand flooding. But you understand what, when you think about the flood, what's the first thing you think about? Okay, Noah and the ark. Okay, and then, oh, how about those guys trying to go across the Jordan River to get to the other side, fleeing away from the Egyptians, right? Oh, okay, you can think about that too. All of these things kind of are interconnected, obviously, but the bottom line is, our help as sons, as the saints, our help is Jehovah. It is the guy The God, I mean, shouldn't say guy, sorry, Lord, the God that created everything. How much more help can you have than that? It's like, what's wrong with my mower? I need to call Toro. They built it. They should be able to fix it. Okay. Hey, you can just dial up God anytime to help fix whatever's going on the earth because he created everything. I know it does sound so simplistic. I don't mean for it to be simplistic, but it kind of probably needs to sort of be that way right now with all the things that are continuing to happen. Okay. What else? Okay.
It's pretty apparent that for whatever's happening, the different challenges, the different, I'm sure there's a better word there, but I can't find it. But anyway, you know, just the things that are trying to draw our attention. It's because we've turned the page. We've stepped into this new point of authority, this new point of elevation, of grace in the spirit. And that is being contested.
Yes.
Gravely, mm-hmm. You know, at every turn. It's hitting every facet. And it may not be every facet in every person, but the enemy knows what things he sees that are challenging to us that, you know, are the dearest or whatever. And that's what he goes after. You know, the things that might be the most difficult for us to transverse, that's what he targets, you know, and it's simply because of where we've been positioned now. And so it's really, in many respects, we need to look at it as an honor, a privilege of suffering. And I don't mean like poor me, mm-hmm. but just like of a rite of passage. It's a rite of passage to grow up, mm-hmm. to mature and to be given more responsibility and more authority. But we have to fight for it.
We do.
You know, it's not going to come easy. It's kind of like, you know, you hear about our president having to dismantle the deep state and they're going to fight tooth and nail, even though they're dying. What's the same thing in the spirit? You know, the enemy knows he's dying. He's losing the cause, but he's not giving up. He's going to fight tooth and nail to the end. And that means we have to fight too. It's part of the spiritual warfare, mm-hmm. not just for the sake of the battle, but for the sake of the goal at the end, for what the prize is, because of what he's laid out before us to accomplish.
It's totally cool. I think it's really, really hitting good stuff. And the Lord gave me a picture. I saw a painting, and it was going from line drawing to shading to color. And as you guys were speaking and talking and stuff, he was saying, this is what the enemy doesn't want people to go. He doesn't want them to progress to the full picture, you know, to the full power of content that's being wrapped around us, mm-hmm. that should be able to walk on water anytime we want, you know, basically, you know, really, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, bring people back from the dead. You know,
yeah.
I declare against demons. It's a part of that whole picture that he's waiting to deliver.
That's perfect with this word. It's right in alignment. And to be in alignment with God's ways, that dream or vision, whatever it was, is right on, because the enemy does not want people functioning in the ways of God. Once he loses that battle, I mean, granted, you can walk away from it, I guess, but we've seen that happen. But boy, once you grasp what that means, I mean, the fact that in the middle of this whole conference that Pastor Ron is doing in Curitiba, he's taking out a Saturday morning to teach Pastor Hafa and his group of people about the seven spirits. That was the only break he had for the day, and he's filled that up. How do you teach about the seven spirits in one morning? You know, but he's going to do it. Because they're begging for it, mm-hmm. and because they need to have this understanding, because there's already, in trying to teach about it in their own church, there's already this appeal by, I don't know whether it's the enemy or whether it's just the enmity of the minds, but there's already this pulling to misuse it, to misinterpret it, to misapply it. And so it's like one of these these are the people ministering. They've got to be in alignment with his ways. And so, zing, zing, talk about exponentially growing. Mm-hmm. You're going to get it and then walk into ministry.
Yeah. I was just thinking too.
What was I thinking?
You know, she was talking about in Pastor Hoffa's church that, you know, you have some of the people that are already coming up with different ideas, and it harkens back to kind of that point of authority. It's like they, individuals will feel, and I say individuals because it's not just his church, it's any body of believers, that there's a point of understanding that maybe they feel they've gained somewhere along the way, and they have the authority to exercise that understanding. And so when there's something new that's brought in, if they've not embraced it, if they've not understood, then they're that voice that's pushing back against what the Father wants. And so, like you were saying, you know, it's that necessary point of promotion of understanding how he functions just to be able to continue to minister. And even when you've been in the church, you know that that's what's needed. And then you just realize that's why it all starts with dying to self. Because even when you have a point of understanding and authority, when God says, but wait, there's more, you know,
wait, there's more.
If you're still stuck on, but Lord, you showed me this and there was power in this before, you know, why can't we keep moving this way? And again, I know it's been said multiple times, but, you know, the greatest opponent of the next thing the Father's doing is the last great move, you know, or what people may even view as the last great move, even if it wasn't something that was just released in their church. It was just a point of understanding that they functioned in.
And so many ways that can be a trap for especially the churches in Brazil. If you've been there and you've noticed how enthusiastic they are and they have breakthrough, and then it's like they kind of withdraw back from that. And no, keep going. And you know, David, I don't know how the Lord gave you that awesome picture of that we have hanging out there, but it's an awesome picture of this year of grace. It absolutely is. That train is a symbol of power. And I know some things can derail the train, but for the most part, they can plow through snow and they can run over cars that are in the way and stuff like that. I get it. Well, I don't know. But, you know, that's exactly, you know, the picture I've been having about this trip that they're going on, this one, that it's like a train of grace is coming. And they're on Saturday when he has that meeting with just them, I believe that train of grace is going to just drive right through that meeting. In that way, I mean, they're going to be promotion instantaneously. And we all have access to that. So good job. Good job painting it too, you guys. So yeah, everything else. Okay. I don't even know what time it is. Okay, cool. You know, obviously you can see in this scripture, I mean, in Psalm 124, that the different places or the different distressing events that occur that David is addressing and say, hey, look, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for Jehovah, where would we be, you know? And so that's another one of those building blocks for all of the believers in that place. So here we come to Psalm 115, which was a very interesting scripture. I am just going to read it. No, I'm not. Somebody else is, because I don't have it on my sheet correctly. Can somebody else read the scripture for me? Thank you, Vicky.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?
Where's your God, Moses?
Right. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased.
He's doing whatever he wants to do.
So. That's right.
Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. Trust in his plan and purpose. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
How cool is that? Oh my goodness. I just love the Lord. Man. So, you know, Psalm 115 is one of those psalms that they use during Passover, depending on a Passover Seder, depending on what's going on. Because I know not all Seders are the same, but anyways, it's one of those psalms that you use, that they sing or recite. I can't remember. I didn't go into a lot of depths of looking at that right away. But I was so much enjoying the comparison of our God to not God, with the, they have a mouth, but they don't speak, all those things. I'm, wow. Let's do a comparison, shall we? And the question that gets asked, you know, back in the day when this was written, or back in the day, idols were readily displayed in many places, right? They're up on the mountain. They were on the top of a pole. They were different areas. But what about statues of God? Where were they? Were there statues of God? There were some tabernacle, not exactly a statue of God. Say again. Yeah. What? So was that why they were asking, where's your God now? Because they didn't have any visible thing they could touch. There's a statue of what, you know, there's that God over there. There's, and were they asking that question? Were they wondering, you have no God. Your God has no power because we can't see him. We don't see a statue to him. I mean, granted, there's a whole temple. Go ahead.
No, but his reputation sure got around.
Yeah, because they were afraid of the Israelites. That's so true. There was a measure of fear in that. You know, you just think about what the people were thinking back in those days where they would ask such a question. Where is your God? Go ahead.
I just think about then and now, what other God that has ever been worshiped, and I put God as little God, what other God has ever welcomed or allowed intimate relationship?
Oh.
None. None. Only the one true God that created heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. And none of these other gods created anything. Not one thin dime. Nothing.
Sorry. Not one thin dime. Sorry, not sorry. You know, I mean, honestly, just in the reading what we just did with the mouth and they can't talk and the ears they can't hear and the nose they can't smell. Let's hit all the senses. You realize that these people that they're talking about, they're worshiping a powerless, worthless, and lifeless entity. We are not. We are not. We have Jehovah and all that he gives us. We have Elohim and all that he means to us, all that he speaks to us. I mean, we have El Shaddai, we have El Elyon. We can go on and on and on with all the different characteristics. But all those characteristics are in play. They're all a part of our walk. And they're a part of our help. Where does our help come from? Where does their help come from? Where does my help come from? Comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. As I said, if I could get a Toro representative here to fix my mower, that would be wonderful because they built it. They should know how to fix it. God made us. He knows how to work with us. He knows how to, quote, fix us. He knows how to work through us. As we partner with him, walking side by side with everything that he's doing, that's our help. And it's not really a help. It's almost an atmosphere. It's almost walking around in that atmosphere at all times where everything you need is provided. no matter the circumstance. Okay. I think I've said what I think I need to say. What else, guys? Carmen's gonna say something.
All those things he talks about in the first few verses there are things that we can manipulate and think we have something to use to gain knowledge and perspective and power and authority and all the things. And this verse is reminding us that we have nothing, and it's all from God, and God is nothing of these things of the world. And we have to look up, like the previous scripture said, to the hills. We have to look away from the world. There's nothing of this world that's going to help us. And the whole reason of life is for us to learn that before we get there in person with God, to see the whole picture, to learn that that's something he wants us to give willingly. That's all we need to learn. And that's all we're learning. And every part of it continues to go back to that identity and purpose, because he wants to forge that in us before we are tested truly when we see him face to face. I mean, what are we going to do then? You know, those songs are famous for telling us, you know, what am I going to do? What's that famous song, you know? I can only imagine. Yeah, that song just hits it, because, yeah, I can't even imagine that, you know, but I just think that's powerful and awesome.
And we're getting prepared for that time too with all of our intercession. Go ahead, Vic.
Yeah, that verse 13 and 14 is really the promise to the sons. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And that's, you know, when you read that, what it means, he's going to bless those that hold his plan and purpose in awe and reverence, you know. And then his purpose is going to, yes, it's going to increase, but it's going to actually join us or add us to what he's doing and how he's moving. And that, and our children as well, those that are not just our physical children, but our children in the faith.
I mean, I don't know if you guys find this re-amazing, because it's been amazing since we've, you know, started learning scripture and understanding what God is doing in the earth. But it's just, again, totally amazing that we're part of this. And that as much as we're a part of this, he is so much a part of it. I mean, he is it. And because of where we are, it's like, let's go. What's next, Lord? Where are we going now? How do you need me to pray? What do you want me to do? I praise you in the storm, like we started out with. Lift my hands to you, because it's you that's moving in all the earth, in my life, no matter what's going on, no matter the circumstance. And I need to listen to that his voice, which we said, the voice of truth. Who are you in him? Who has God created you to be? And it's all coming together in a locomotive.
And as you know, scripture says that his eyes are roving to and fro, looking for someone who will partner with him and standing in the gap. So as we come to that point of maturity, he is able to make the application of who we are, who we have become, or who we are realizing we are, and that he can trust us not to shrink away, or not to try and then quit because it's just too hard. Yeah. But we are going to persevere, and it's part of our maturing. It's our becoming stronger in that place that we have been assigned. And this blessing, he says, he will bless us. He will assign us. He will use us according to his design, according to our what we have been gifted with, according to how we are realizing our gifting and ready to use them.
Yeah.
So it's about our coming to understanding our identity, because he has already got plans for us. And this is a significant, powerful thing in me to realize, is that the more I trust him and the more I realize who I am, the greater measure of my significance is in the kingdom that he has prepared.
Your daughter wanted to. She tried to grab it from you.
I was just going to say, just as an encouragement, you know, you saw that train, and as you were talking, several years ago, we had done a Truth and Sonship poster, and it was two hands with a torch. I really think that what's going to transpire Saturday for the Brazil Saints is that passing of that torch, that Elijah and Elisha's and coming alongside and being able to, it's just going to be a physical manifestation of the tandem partnership that God's always been looking for. He was looking for it with David and Saul. He was looking for it with, there's other pairs that were supposed to, you know, Moses and Aaron. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be a tandem walking forward with that truth. And that's really, I'm declaring that that's what's going to occur this Saturday in Brazil as this, you know, Pastor Hoffa's church comes in line and, you know, takes up that torch and then is able to run forward with that truth. Sorry.
I just declare over each one of those children and every individual that declared those words Friday night that I'm going to praise him in the midst of the storm, mm-hmm. that they will be drawn into the depths of Father's heart to where they will begin to understand the depths of what that really means and be able to apply it in their lives.
Yeah, and if you were watching little Anya during that song particularly, she wasn't looking at anybody else. She was looking up. She was following the first scripture in Psalm 121, that first time, I lift mine eyes up. That's what she was doing when she was singing that song. I'm like, oh, she's getting into it. That's what I call it. But she really meant it. She really means it. She knows that that's where her help comes from, that's the only place that you get the answers. I mean, I'm glad we're all around her and we love her and I smack her around sometimes. I'm just kidding. But she was really, and so there were several others, but I definitely saw Anya and I'm like, that girl is on fire for the Lord. she has got that personality going and it's pretty cool. You did a good job too. All right. Well, I think that's it. I hope everybody got something out of this. Lord, thank you for your word that continues to help us grow in who we are in you and helps us to grow in understanding who you are. And Lord, continue to lead us and guide us. Give us words to declare over this time in the mission in Brazil that's going on, and specifically on Saturday, Lord. I ask that you strengthen Pastor Ron. I ask that you strengthen Yoali. I ask that you strengthen Pastor Hapa, and that your wisdom will be overflowing during this time period, from them out to the rest of the group, the crowd, the people that will be there. They will learn, continue to learn who they are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.